there's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve,
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love, don't you? The harbor chalk on this trend has been margin called.
I think it was a hook. Trust to your idols, now they got me shook. Believe in the crooks, other the same. Are they cooking the books? Stay up a deck and all us in a day. Now the door and righteous getting away. Think of the back, bigger ripple effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside us a test. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big dizzy net. Made from your savings, that's 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialize less is why we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the continuing this game.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the crowd, pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Talk the truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us the dream that never delivers. While raking in fees, including the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled to risks don't even know. How far ever go to the damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. When government captures out of play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. And bail us with pawns and complainers.
The money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions of yours. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex. And fallible humans left. Playing the dark is gonna get wrecked until her economy's a lot of GX.
What would happen if we take our money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purpose and power. How do we build a base? Replace the continental fix with the world of free markets.
Step one. Independent systems for a month of the rush.
Step two.
Move our savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Learn, save, spend, trade. All activities move this way. We were all money. Everything changed. Due to lack of positivity.
It's hard work. It's not earned by work. And time earning a larger piece of the pie or everything. Money is data for us on when messages score the politicians come from capturing us in place and we reap value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being sensitive. Move up from gambling, saving. Move up from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have the trust to be what they say. So the freedom and what can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get the control of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's the game.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. I am your host, Coleman, and we are on episode 99. 99 of these episodes, and I want to say thank you for everybody who's tuned in for all of them, or for those of you who just had us on in the background to draw out your family, or just to draw out the voices and drown out the voices in your head. So I really do appreciate it. And I just want to say good morning to Hunter, Chivas, Jesse, we got Taggart, I have Captain B in the audience, Daniel, King Bateman, let's see, we got Kevin, Eric, JB, let's see, is that Christina in the audience? Good morning. And of course we have Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle, Eomer, and Bob Van Kirk. How are you gentlemen doing this morning?
I was going to be a gentleman and let Yomar go, but maybe his mic is not working. I had a client once who always said, I'm too good to be true. So this morning, I'm too good to be true.
Need a little context for that. What was it in reference to?
When asked, how are you this morning?
I got you. I'm following. Sorry, my brain's lagging this morning. I didn't get a lot of sleep. It's probably because Eomer's got me all flustered as well. He's throwing his beans in his chill and he's posting photos on the back channel. So it's really distracting.
Does that qualify as a chilly meme?
Coleman can't resist photos of my beans. You know, just gets them all hot and bothered in the morning.
Your beans look pretty small in those photos, though. I have to let you know.
It's all about quality, you know?
You know what? To each your own. I really don't. I think it's starting to become comical that you like putting beans so much. But you know what? I have to admit, I've been giving you so much shit about putting beans in your chili. My wife made Mexican chili last night, and you wouldn't doubt it that she put a bunch of beans in there. So I can't give you too much shit anymore. I had beans in my Mexican chili.
Well, at least somebody in your family knows how to make proper chili. It's good to hear.
Which is weird because she is absolutely against it in my regular chili, which I agree. Beans don't belong in regular chili, so. I think this is the new debate. Remember 2-3 years ago when they had the debate on stainless steel versus cast iron for cookware? I think this is going to be the new thing that we argue about until Bitcoin starts doing something interesting in 25. We put beans in our chili or not? Were you guys around for that debate with the cast iron versus stainless steel? Or is that before your time?
I think that was before my time. I did just switch over to, I have some stainless steel and, I just bought, my last holdout for, like the nonstick stuff was a wok. So I bought a, cast iron wok that I've been using. I like both. I don't know. I think both of them have a good role. I use like stainless steel usually for like my eggs in the morning. And then a lot of the other stuff I do in cast iron.
If you can, I would always recommend everyone to kind of ditch their nonstick cookware. There's tons of toxic chemicals in that stuff. Again, I've had stainless steel and I just never had very good luck with it. But we bought a really nice set of cast iron and I absolutely love cooking with it. Once you get it seasoned right and you know how to properly just kind of get it going. It cooks like a dream. It's really fun.
Yeah, stainless is the same way. The main thing with stainless, it took me a little bit to figure out too, was that you have to let it get up to the right temperature before you like throw everything on there, right? Or we're used to like just kind of piling stuff with the nonstick and it doesn't stick. But with stainless, like you have to make sure like the butter or oil, whatever you have is heated up, and then you throw the stuff on there and it'll keep it from sticking. It kind of makes like that layer in between. Like the, whatever you're cooking and the stuff. I will note that like, the one thing that like angers me in cast iron is like potatoes. Like if you're trying to do like home style potatoes, like fried potatoes in there, they always stick for me in the cast iron. It's irritating.
You wouldn't just dox yourself and say that you're cooking with seed oils. Did you, Eomar?
Seed oils? No, I use olive oil.
Okay. I'll let that slide. I guess if you put chilies, or you put bean in your chilies, I guess you'd probably cook with olive oil.
Olive oil is like it's a superfood.
I'm not sure about that. I think it's better to just cook with butter and lard. We'll have to ask Matthew when he joins the show on the 28th of this month what he prefers to cook with, seeing as how he doxed me with the Fritos and beans.
I feel like he's gonna, it's gonna be like a bunch of kids like telling their parents like, well, he said put Fritos in there. He actually agreed with you. I don't know if you saw that post. I think he came out on the Frito side there. So,
I absolutely saw that he agreed with me. I really would have put money that he would not, and he was going to shame me for eternity, which I do deserve when I put Fritos in it, but,
Yeah, I felt, very, very blindsided and betrayed there, but what are you going to do? You know, I'll just sit here in my solitude of rightness and you guys can all be there partying and wrong. I'm like that dude in the corner in the meme. They don't know how right I am, you know?
No, I don't think that's applicable comparison for this. But cooking your potatoes in the stainless steel cast iron, I've never had an issue with it sticking.
Stainless steel is fine, but like when I do it with cast iron, like, it always gets like the, like starchiness or whatever gets like stuck onto the cast iron. And I mean, it's not that hard to clean off. It's just annoying.
Yeah. I just use an extra amount of, beef tallow when I'm cooking potatoes just to get them extra crispy. And they tend not to stick to it. But that's the key. If you have beef tallow, I'm telling you, if you want to fry something, like you're, again, obviously you want to try and eat healthy, but everyone has cheat meals. When we do like, homemade, burgers and french fries, we fry the potatoes in beef tallow. I'm telling you, it's an absolute game changer. The way that it fries up, it doesn't get soggy, it doesn't make you feel bloated afterwards. I definitely recommend people trying that.
Yeah, I haven't cooked with beef tallow yet. I've thought about it and I've looked into it a couple times, but I haven't actually done anything with beef tallow yet. It's on my list of things to try out.
Once you try it, I think it's really hard to go back to anything else. Just the way what it does to the food and the way it just, I don't know, it's completely different. So I'm not a big sweet guy. I've never liked breakfast, just simply because it's so heavy with like cereals and sugar, and eggs can get pretty boring pretty quick. But every once in a while, I'll go ahead and with the kids and we'll make homemade donuts, and making homemade donuts fried in beef tallow. That's where it's at. That'll definitely change your perspective. If you have a sweet tooth, try that out.
Do you have any more diabetes tips between the Fritos and the fried donuts, or do you actually work for like AstraZeneca or one of those companies?
I'm heavily invested in them. Yes, I go out in public and I see everybody's waistlines, and I'm like, there is money to be made on these stocks.
You like that? Was that movie with the surfer? He's like, no, do less, do less.
That's exactly me. No, you know what? Everyone has their cheat meals, or, you know, you're something you just can't resist. That's mine. I like every now and then, but it's mostly, it's the damn Halloween candy. That's what gets me every year. Those little packets of candies. I have no willpower when that stuff's in the house. So I have to make sure that my wife tries to hide it, but then I go out and I look for it. I know she's hidden it. So I know it's in the house. So I try and find it. So it doesn't do me any good.
Yeah. It kind of like, Try it out. Like if you haven't before, like just try to cut out like all the sugar, and then do it like a couple weeks before like Halloween or something, and then just go hover around that bowl of candy on Halloween, and you'll see like how much of an addiction like sugar really is. You know, like it reminded me of you get the same kind of like sensations like if you're quitting smoking and like you smell like a cigarette or something, you're like, oh, I need to have a cigarette. Like it was like the same kind of like it felt like it was coming from the same place, which was pretty funny. But yeah, baklava is my weak spot. My mom makes a like phenomenal baklava around the holidays. So I got like a whole tray of that I tried to not turn myself into a fat pile of worthlessness during the holidays. And it was a struggle for sure.
Yeah, I pretty much at this point just go to the gym so I can maintain my current eating habits and my current weight. I know I'm not going to lose any.
There's days where I use like the MyFitnessPal app to like track calories and stuff. And there's days where I just look at it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to spend like an extra 10 minutes in the gym just so I can get this snack in.
Yeah, you work out because you know what you're going to cheat on. I can definitely relate to that. But I did do carnivore for almost 2 months, and I really did enjoy it. The only thing is, I do like to run. I like to run long distance, and I found that I was always depleted when I was running with the carnivore diet. I just couldn't. My mile times would just always keep getting worse. Definitely lost a lot of weight. I felt great, but my cardio, I couldn't keep up, and I just felt depleted. So I had to make a change. If anybody's on a carnivore diet and you know the secret to kind of overcome that hack, I would like to know. I did really enjoy it because it's very simple. And you know you can only have one thing, which is protein. It eliminates kind of all the temptations. but yeah, I just couldn't keep it up.
Yeah, it was pretty hard to like, I don't think I ever went full carnivore. Like I still eat like vegetables and stuff. But I went pretty close. And like right now, like I've been doing for the past couple months now, where I get like around like 15% of my calories are from carbs and everything else is, fat and protein. So it's been pretty good. I feel pretty good. It's just a lot to cut out 100% of the carbs and stuff. Probably doable if you really were into it, but, I just don't feel the need.
Yeah, I think it's definitely obvious that there's something wrong with our food, and we can go ahead and kind of dive into this a little bit deeper. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Italy this summer and spent 2 weeks there, and I by no means did I eat healthy by any stretch of the imagination. But I did not gain a single pound when I was over there, where if I would have been eating that same way back here stateside, I would have definitely gained a lot of weight. So it's something that they're putting into our food, which is quite evident, that's causing these issues. And I wouldn't say that the food was fresher over there. And again, we weren't eating a ton of processed food, but we were eating a lot of carbs like pasta and breads, and doing that here again, I wouldn't be able to fit in my pants. But I had no problems over there. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at, buy yourself a loaf of bread, or if you don't buy bread at the store, just look at one of the packages and look at all the ingredients in there, and then look up a recipe for making bread at home and like just look at the difference there in the list of ingredients. I make bread, and it's just, like flour, yeast, and what else is in there? Some water and maybe salt or something. I forget exactly, but it's like a couple ingredients, but if you look at like the store-bought stuff, there's like a list of these things that you probably can't pronounce. It's for like preservation and stuff, cause it's got to get transported. It's got to sit on a shelf. It's got to do that. It's got to do this. If you did the same thing with the bread that you make at home, it'll mold pretty fast. But I think the key is there that it's just probably not that good for you, And it's not necessarily that they're always like doing it for like evil reasons or whatever. It's just like, that's the nature of it. Like if you want to make it have a shelf life, you have to do these things, and maybe it screws up with the digestion and all that stuff and, nutrient absorption or whatever. But, I won't eat like store-bought bread. Like if I don't have time to make bread, then I'm just not eating it. And even when I do eat it, I eat like at most in a day, I'll have like, 50 grams of bread, so it's not that much.
Yeah,
I'm like unbleached flour and stuff like that. You don't want to get all that processed flour too.
Yeah, I'm extremely fortunate that I have an amazing wife. She loves to cook, and she does make our own bread, so I really do enjoy that. But I don't think we ate unhealthy. We were always pretty clean, especially, again, my wife is really big into fitness. She's done competitions. And so she was always eating healthy. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, about a year and a half ago. And that really just opened us up, and we really went down, kind of a different rabbit hole to see kind of all these different additives and what they do. So even though I think we're eating pretty clean back then, we definitely took it to the next level after that. And so we try and do everything in house now, whatever we can. And it makes a big difference, especially with flavor. So I posted up in the back chat some of the topics that I wanted to cover today. I think first thing we should go ahead and tackle is that news that came out of the New York Post that Trump is considering having an XRP or Solana and U.S. D.C. strategic reserve. So in case you missed it, there was a report that came out. There's only like three lines in the New York Times that somebody said, Donald Trump and his transition team are preparing to issue pro crypto executive orders, which will also include repealing, the controversial Sob 121. But he likes the idea of having an American first strategic reserve using American coins. So XRP, Solana, and USDC. This only came from a single source that was anonymous. I tried digging into it. I couldn't find a lot of information. I would kind of chop this up and liken it to the guy that went on to Fox News and said Bank of America is using all internal transactions on the XRP blockchain. I don't think there's any merit to it. I think there's someone who's just trying to pump their own bags. And again, I'm not saying that he's not considering it. Again, he created his own shitcoin. I believe he's trying to purchase a shitcoin exchange. I don't think that he's really considering doing this. I think this is just a rumor. But Bob or Eomar, if you guys have any thoughts, let's hear it on this.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of things lately that are outlandish that I think, you know, play in the social media, playground, because people can, if they have a big enough following, they can get away with it and not provide sources. So, you know, I tend to, ignore most of them, until there's actual, like, credibility behind it, or if multiple sources are saying it. I'd be surprised if this was the case, but it certainly, I guess anything's possible at this point.
Yeah, anything is possible. Again, Trump is probably the most unpredictable person. He does kind of the opposite of everyone's expecting. So again, he could very well do this. I don't think so. I think this is just someone trying to pump their own bag and trying to make XRP into the headlines again.
Coleman, you know what it does is it's kind of clickbait, right? It makes people follow you. Like if you don't have it, it's like, well, hey, I want to see if this is actually true. Like I saw someone post who has a good following yesterday. I saw them post that they think Fidelity is insolvent, and then they said more to come, like tomorrow. I'll provide information tomorrow, which is complete craziness. Like it's very, very, very unlikely. So I think, you know, you see this type of, just way to get more followers, I think. And so again, I'm always scrutinizing these things.
I just saw something, the SEC appealed some of like the Ripple ruling, yesterday, I guess. So I don't know. I think what I don't know. And the reason I was actually looking into XRP just now is because I think it's important that Bitcoin, as far as I know, has been ruled as a, commodity, right? So it's not considered like a, stock. You know, it's considered a commodity by, I forget what the agency is. But I think that's a big, distinction here, right? Because if XRP is a, like a stock, could you imagine like the US government having like a strategic Microsoft reserve? It seems kind of absurd when you say it that way. So like, why would they have a strategic XRP reserve? That's my thoughts on it. You know what I mean? I think it's, it sounds like nonsense.
It is nonsense because again, someone controls this. So then it's anybody can print it. All it is just, you might as well just create your own CBDC and just use that as the strategic reserve. It's going to have the same effect. You're both right. The people are just clickbait. They're just trying to put this stuff because it might be relevant, making them more followers and they can start monetizing that on X. I do wish that X would, you know, for blatantly false news or narratives that are being spread, I do wish that there was some kind of repercussion for that. Not saying like monetary or like you're banned forever, but just kind of like someone has a marker on their thing for 30 days. Hey, this guy posted completely blatant false information or spread it. Just so others are aware. Cause again, once you start following people, you know, you may go, oh, maybe he's right about this, then he's right about that. And you just kind of go down this weird rabbit hole. So.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope though. I mean, my account got flagged for whatever reason. I actually had a flag on my account at some point, according to X, because of, I don't know, probably random bots reporting me and stuff.
Beans in your chili. Of course you're going to get flagged.
Yeah. So it took them like a month to remove it, you know, like I got like, and like I couldn't see it, but like a month afterwards they said, hey, we removed this flag from your account because like you weren't, engaging in whatever behavior it was. I think it was like inauthentic behavior or something. I forget what they said. But you know, like that's like, you know, like I understand where that sentiment comes from. Right. And, but like it always starts coming from a good place. And then it gets to like that, authoritarian, like abuse of power, you know? So, the market will decide on who's spreading bullshit and who's not, you know? It takes a little bit of time. And obviously like there's things on X where these like junk accounts have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. And, you know, that's unfortunately what it is. You know, you got to find those pockets that are, you know, good signal above the noise and, just stick with that. You know, if you follow somebody and you notice them posting junk, just unfollow them, you know, that's the best way to go about it, you know?
No, and you're absolutely right, Yomar. Unfollow them if they're just blatantly lying, or they're just not trustworthy. Don't give them any time. And you are right. The best way to suppress false or fake speech or hate speech is by having more speech that can contradict it. So just find high signal, you know, accurate accounts to follow. And so if you're not following anybody up here on the stage, go up there and give us a like, give us a follow, because I think we don't we're pretty good about digging into the information before we start reporting on it. So and again, that goes for anybody. And if you could, guys and girls, if you could just go to the top of the screen here and just go ahead and retweet this link. Let's get some more people in here. Again, we have a lot of good signal. We're very informative. And we're just, I think we're a good group of guys and girls to hang out with. So let's get some more people in this space this morning. Some big news. We will have BTC Sessions, Ben Pirin, joining us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So I'm looking forward to that. Kind of go over some more Bitcoin 101, some new updates to hardware wallets and some at-home miners that we'll cover with Ben tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'll have the link for the show with Ben immediately after today, and then if we can go ahead and retweet that as well. But we'll go ahead and stick on Trump here for a bit. This post, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, but I didn't have a chance to talk about it. Trump announces external revenue service to collect tariffs and foreign revenue. So on a social media post, Trump shared that the external revenue service will officially launch on his presidential inauguration day, so on Monday. He criticized the IRS asserting that Americans have been overtaxed for years. We will now begin charging those that make money off us with trade, and they will start paying, finally, their fair share. So there's a couple questions I have with this post. One, he didn't say he was going to get rid of the IRS, so I hope we're not getting double taxed. But two, it looks like he's very serious about doing this, and he says he's going to do it on day one. I do think that would be the way to do it. I think if you can get rid of the IRS, get rid of all revenue tax, and just have a flat tax or a tariff on everything coming in, you would generate more money through the economy because there's no loopholes. There's no way out of paying it. It would cause an immediate kind of shock in the economy. Things would definitely get a lot more expensive instantly. But I think over 6 to 9 months, you would start seeing people would have more money that they're taking home because, again, your tax rate is about 30% or 25 to 30%. And if these are just 20, you're still bringing home an extra 5 to 10% every paycheck. So, Yomar, Bob, if you guys want to dive into this and your thoughts on the external revenue service.
Yeah, I'll just say I think this is an interesting idea. Nothing happens overnight. So yes, that, you know, this will be announced, it sounds like, which, you know, could be a good thing or a bad thing. Depending on how it's constructed. So I think it's pretty complex when you look at it. And so not to take the negative view, but you know, we've said many times on this space about the policies or just the incoming administration could be kind of lumpy for us. And I think it's good to, you know, this is a great education thing for a lot of Americans to see that, hey, before the IRS, we had, basically a consumption tax. And, you know, tariffs were the way that everyone was, or that the government was collecting taxes. Unfortunately, you know, we don't see the IRS going away, anytime soon, or at least that hasn't been announced. And I do think, to your point, Coleman, I think, you know, there's an equilibrium, right? Because our economy is all geared and situated, for the current system, and, changing it over, I think will take one, some time, but two, it's a pretty heavy lift when you look at, you know, things like supply chain disruption could occur. This could lead, you know, like the pandemic, maybe not to these levels, but it could lead to higher inflation. And then the Fed has to kind of work, to combat that. That's just one of maybe many things that could occur. You know, including like putting some of our, exporters at a heavy disadvantage in the marketplace. So it could actually, I'm not saying it could backfire. I just think there's a lot to think about here, and you'd have to have one big gigantic team, to accomplish it. And so I wonder how it would be constructed. 'Cause is it just shifting some of the, heavy, you know, I guess we have a very, big government employee base. And so is it just shifting some of those where they get cut out from DOGE to, you know, a new department? You know, how does this all look? Like, are you taking, you know, will there be lawsuits because Congress is saying, hey, this is kind of under our purview for right now. And now you're the one solely negotiating this. So anyway, there's a lot of questions here. I think, love to hear what Yomar has to say about this.
I think I don't remember where I heard this from, so I might be, completely, hallucinating this memory, but, I think that tariffs are under the president because it's considered like part of the, like diplomacy powers or something. I feel like I've had this discussion somewhere. I'll have to look into that, but it might be something like a thread worth pulling on. And then, the other thing I want to say is like, I just finished reading, The Real Lincoln, which is like a really interesting book. And it talks about how, prior to the Civil War, how tariffs were kind of weaponized against the South, because they didn't have like the manufacturing base and stuff. So they imported a lot. And I wonder if it's like the inverse now, if that's why there's like this resistance to, tariffs, because, you know, like, you know, whatever, I'm assuming the population centers and stuff don't really have like the manufacturing that they used to have. I don't really know like the distribution there, but something worth looking into just to get like context of like how tariffs can also be abused and weaponized. I still think, it's a much better system than what we have right now. You know, right now, like the whole concept of somebody has a right to your, the fruits of your labor just inherently is absurd. You know, like the net taxes that you pay are crazy. You know, like if you're paying 30% federal income tax, and then if your state has an income tax, it's another 8% on top of that. And then your state also has a sales tax, that's 8% on top of that. Like your money disappears after like 2 to 3 exchanges, right? It just goes right back to the government. You know, and that's like the design, you know, so if it makes it really hard to save and to like it, the whole system is designed to disincentivize you saving your wealth. You know, that's the whole fiat like Ponzi scheme. They want it flowing upwards into the like stock market, into those that hold the assets and stuff. They don't want you holding onto it and saving it, you know, so, you know, just the fact that like if you eliminated the income tax and it was just a sales tax, you would say like, oh, like, well, I don't have to spend this extra money. I can hold on to it. I can invest it in something. I could build something. They don't want that system in place because it'll have ramifications, you know? Surely like there'll be some people that initially like with the COVID like stimulus checks or whatever they were, you know, they went out and went on vacations or they bought random junk they didn't need. But I think that novelty will kind of wear off. And a lot of people will say like, oh, well, I can, you know, save for the future. You know, it'll increased time preference. That's not like the system we have now. So I think that's why there's like all this resistance towards it. I hope it goes in place. It'd be awesome, I think, for me personally and for, you know, the country as a whole.
I agree. I hope it does get put into place. And I think that's the trend that we're starting to get into, right? We're trying to get into more just like this overstimulation with just purchasing everything. We just live in a consumerism world where if this new thing comes out, we buy it and it lasts for a couple months or a year and then you have to go out and replace it. I would definitely support something that costs more money up front, but it lasts you forever. And then you know it's made by someone local. You know it's made here in the United States. I like that approach. And I think by doing this, by putting these tariffs on, you bring people back to like their roots. Like how many more people would start moving out a little bit further and having their own little farm and having chickens and goats or cattle, pigs. And then this way you start saving on prices because you have your own livestock. So I think there's definitely ripple effects from this taking place. And if someone was going to do it and implement it, I think Trump's the guy. He doesn't really care. And Howard Lutnick is the Secretary of Commerce. And I know that he was on board with implementing just wide tariffs on anything that we could be making here in the United States, but we choose to import. So I don't know exactly what role the Secretary of Commerce has in the administration and what powers or influence, but it'd be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. So Eomar or Bob, if you have any thoughts on what that role does or how it could help, let me know.
I don't really know much about the role, so I can't really speak to the impact that they would have. I just want to add one other thing. Like we have to be careful of like the other side of this coin, which is tariffs on top of the income tax. Cause then you're just getting extra screwed. So we want to make sure that that isn't the result and, you know, be careful of that kind of, government rug pull there. Like, oh, we're just going to put these tariffs in place and then later we'll, you know, get rid of the income tax or lower it or something. You know, cause then it's just, you know, really bad news for the consumer and the person. So, definitely keep an eye out on that and look for, you know, to be kind of pushed like simultaneously, like a reduction or preferably elimination of the income tax. I don't think they'll eliminate it, but we could probably get it like a significant reduction and then increasing tariffs and stuff. So.
What this gets me thinking about too, is the, does this drive the adoption or the need for a central bank digital currency? Because I guess the way I see it, we're going to need, you know, Bitcoin needs adoption because Bitcoin is going to be our, I think, best hope against a central bank digital currency as the alternative. And so what I'm having trouble reconciling is, I could see where this maybe speeds up, the adoption a little bit. Especially if, you know, our fears are true that the IRS doesn't go away and, you know, as the deficits pile up and the, expense on our debt gets bigger, I think, you know, they're going to be scratching and clawing for every which way to, try to, well, grow the economy, number one, but two, collect every last penny of tax revenue that they can, whether it's through tariffs or from, you know, individuals in businesses, through the IRS. So I don't know. I guess I probably have some more pondering to do on this, but I think, it very well could speed up a CBDC.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points with that, Bob. I'm just not sure. I just try and look at what the new administration, so Trump in specific, has gone through with just kind of everyone getting into his business, the unwarranted search or the unlawful searches and legal lawsuits that have been put on him. And I think he might push back a little bit more on something that has so much control, like a CBDC. I've said it and I'll say it again. I do think that they understand Bitcoin. Trump, I don't think understands it as much as his sons. But again, I'm going to go back to what Eric had talked about at Bitcoin Mina. And he sounds like someone who's very well versed in Bitcoin, and he's just not reading off flashcards or note cards. So I do hope that they do get, if they do the external revenue service, that they remove the internal revenue service. How they do it, I'm not sure. I'm trying to just pull back at some memories. I believe someone had stated that they don't have the authority, like the president doesn't have authority to abolish it. It'd have to go through Congress to remove it. But I think the president can go ahead and limit the funds that the IRS is able to access, so they can kind of just bleed them dry to get rid of them. So,
well, they, I think the IRS falls under the executive branch, right? So he can just tell them, like, stop your internal revenue service activities, like go count bricks or something, you know? I think that's kind of where the power, like the Congress has the power of the purse. So they can say like, oh, the IRS is getting X amount of money, but I think the executive still is the one that says what they are supposed to do and, like how they're supposed to do it. So I think that would be the lever. He could just tell them to stop collections. And you know, the problem with that is that it's easily reversible by the next president, you know? But I think, you know, if that were to be put in place, it would be like the American people would realize how they're being fleeced. And I don't think it would be like a non-starter for a future president. But I think something to look at is like when he tries to do it, you know, if he waits till the end, then it's just a show, you know. If he does it early, then he's serious about it, because you have to do it early. Cause you mentioned earlier, Coleman, like it's going to be a little bit painful at the start. So you have to give it time for that to settle out so people can see, like, this isn't just crazy. Like, there's actually something, to it, you know? So I'm already surprised by, some of the stuff he's done, you know, with the ceasefire. I don't know if you guys are following any of that, but like the way that the Israeli media has been categorizing it, you know, it's much better than what I expected from Trump. So, you know, I'm hoping that we get, more pleasant surprises, and early, you know, like the fact that he got this, what, 5 days before his inauguration, you know, it gives me hopes that he is, you know, legitimately planning to move fast and, make some big changes. So we'll see, you know, if, like I said, if it's not done early, then I don't think it's going to come to be.
Yeah, Omar, I think you bring up a lot of good points there. One I wanted to touch on was this idea of, you know, if this falls under the executive branch, he can tell the IRS what to do. I think the same thing goes for the SEC, right, with the Saab 121 rule. So, you know, it may not even need to be an executive order. It's just, hey, I've directed these departments, which are under my purview, to handle this a certain way. And I've also asked Congress to bring forth bills that, you know, are encouraging XYZ, whatever. So I think that there will be some things that don't need an executive order, and maybe there are others that they will do, but, you know, it'll still fall to Congress, hopefully, because then some of these changes are more permanent. And if they're good, you know, we'll see the results of them. I don't mean to derail us, but just wanted to point that out, that, you know, just simply having a new SEC chair should be a change that everybody welcomes as well.
Who is the new SEC chair that's being appointed? It was a complete outsider, right? Eomer, Bob, do you guys know?
I don't remember the name. I know that there were several kicked around, including, you know, pro crypto, Hester Pierce, but, she had said she wasn't interested. So I don't remember exactly who it was.
Paul Atkins.
Oh yeah, Paul Atkins. Yeah.
But what was Paul Atkins, what has he done? Because I don't remember a whole lot about him. So he was a previous SEC commissioner from 2002 to 2008 under George W. Bush. He's the CEO and founder of Padomark Global Partners. He wants a lighter regulatory approach on crypto. So he gets appointed in the Senate confirmation following Gensler's departure on the 20th. So that'll be interesting to see what he does. I do remember that his name was thrown out, but yeah, you're right. I don't really know a lot about him either. But I think anybody's better than Gensler, regardless of how you feel about him. He should have just made it absolutely clear and made rules and just stuck with them. But going back and forth and not being clear direct, it's caused all of these issues. And whether that was from him or from someone tapping him on the shoulder saying you can't give clear regulatory guidance, I'm not sure. But he definitely made this a lot more muddy in the water for anybody in this sector. But Eomar had mentioned it earlier, Bitcoin doesn't really fall underneath the SEC's purview because it's treated as a commodity. And if I'm wrong on any of that, please someone call me out.
Yeah, I had heard rumors too that Trump was talking about collapsing the SEC with the CFTC, but that would be pretty remarkable as well. Would you, you know, if you were someone who was with SEC experience like Atkins and took that job knowing that you were not long for that job, I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing that could play out as well.
As long as you were told that you could have a position, you know, at the new one or have a significant role somewhere, then I don't think it would be as painful just to step in temporarily. But we will see. Again, we only have 2 more days. On Monday, it is a holiday. It's MLK Day, and that's the inauguration. So we will see how quickly things roll. I've been trying to follow up and get different perspective. And again, I think it speaks well to kind of Trump's personality. Everybody's split. No one has any idea what he's really going to be doing on the first couple of days. I've heard it's 100% locked that he's going to do pro-Bitcoin legislation, and then I've heard he's going to wait and draw it out. There's no point. He doesn't understand it. So we will find out in the coming days. But I don't think it's going to be a dull week next week. I expect it to be pretty entertaining and seeing everything unfold. So it's good. And to Eomar's point, I do think that he's going to make positive changes around the globe. I do think the ceasefire in Gaza, regardless of what Biden might have said last night in his farewell speech, he had nothing to do with it. It was 100% Trump. And so I'm glad, but I believe Eomar made a post about this. We can't just kind of let it stop here. The Palestine needs a lot of help, and they need to have, it's just been completely destroyed. And we just can't let Israel go back in there again and beat them up for no reason.
Yeah, I'll post that to the space too, here in a second, but, I posted, one of the articles I wrote on, like after Donald Trump had won, like some of the things that we should look for and expect and hope for, I guess, out of his, presidency. So it's kind of a review of some of his campaign promises and then, you know, some of the research, around those. So if you're looking for a refresher, you could read that article. And then I'll post the one for the Gaza ceasefire too. It was written, I think, the day before it was like officially announced or officially agreed upon. Actually, I think they're trying to back out of it now, the Israelis, but we'll see how that goes. I think that, you know, the one of the important things to look at is just like how the Israeli media is covering it. Unfortunately, Israeli media is much more honest about, everything going on in Israel than our media is, just by, you know, corruption and, who's running things here. If you read their stuff, they're pretty, explicit in how, Trump was able to force this through. Like one journalist actually like, you know, said that Trump kept twisting Netanyahu's arm and eventually just bent him over and forced this thing on him. That was like the phrasing they used. So it was like pretty graphic, and they were pretty upset about, what many of them categorize as like a betrayal, by Trump. So, you know, and in case anybody's like lost here, like our support of this has hurt us in a lot of ways. You know, both economically, you know, the wars we fought for them, the munitions that we don't have right now, like our munition stockpiles are devastated, and it'll take literally decades for some of them to be restocked. Just from the public, perspective, you know, like our whole justification for our empire was protecting human rights, and we threw all of that out the window, you know, explicitly and live streamed, for the past 15 months. So, you know, Trump forcing this ceasefire is, you know, in my mind, like one of the most America first things he could do. You know, this thing was, destroying us in a lot of ways. So, hopefully he follows through and we see, policies that actually put us first. And like that just brings me like, to one other thing, like, the guy he sent there, Wyckoff, I think his name is the Middle East envoy. Just the way, like he said, hey, I'm coming tomorrow in the afternoon. And they said, oh, well, it's, the Sabbath. And he's like, I don't care. Like I'm coming. And they were kind of shocked that the American envoy was behaving as if America's in charge, which should be the relationship, right? Like if I have to stomach this relationship with Israel, you know, it should be the fact that we are in charge of it. You know, we're the ones that are supporting them. So, you know, it's nice to see some of these things kind of take shape, and I hope it's not just like a smoke and mirrors. I hope this is, legitimate. And you know, just back to the ceasefire itself, I don't know if you guys saw the articles from The Lancet, but they said that they estimate that the death toll in Gaza is actually about 41% underreported. So they think there's up to like 70,000 or more that have actively been killed already. And they said that in another paper, they said that 3 to 15 times that are likely to die as a result of the war. So that could bring the total to like 200 and something thousand up to almost a million, which would be like half the population of Gaza. So, you know, there's a lot of destruction there and a lot of devastation. So there's different like organizations. If, you know, you're the donating type, there's, PCRF, Palestinian Children Relief Fund, Heal Palestine is another one, UNRWA, and I'm sure there's others. So, you know, if you're inclined to try to throw your money towards, a way to help, I definitely recommend those groups.
Hey, Omar, do you mind just throwing that up in the nest? The organizations you just mentioned, just in case someone wanted to, they'll have just an easy click to get to it.
Yeah, they're in the article, so I'll just post the article up. It's also in the first comment in the thread there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, if you can get that up there, much appreciated. Really quick though, I do want to thank our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use the code BTCVETS for 5% off your order, solosatoshi.com. And Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Check them out at punchplate.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th in Juneau. It's going to be an amazing conference. This is family friendly. So bring your spouse, bring your kids, make a vacation out of it. Get there early. Pre-conference activities start on the 1st, bitcoinalaska.org. And up in the nest, I have a link to Cold Card. Get the Cold Card MK4 or the Cold Card Q. Again, treat your Bitcoin like it's 10 to 100 times the value it is today. We have no idea what Trump is going to do during his administration. If he announces a strategic Bitcoin reserve, the price is going to get a little nutty. So make sure you're not leaving your Bitcoin on an exchange. Withdraw it to self-custody. Click on that link up in the nest. Speaking of exchanges and Bitcoin, it looks like Coinbase has reintroduced their Bitcoin lending on their platform. So they're going to bring back Bitcoin loans on their platform. You can get a loan up to $100,000 in USDC. So the loans have to be over-collateralized with a minimum of 133%. If the loan balance reaches below 86% of the collateral, the collateral is instantly liquidated and to repay the loan and the penalty fees. The interest rates on these loans are not yet mentioned, but they are going to be variable and determined automatically based on market conditions. I think these go live tomorrow. So never sell your Bitcoin. Everybody's financial situation is different. I would be very hesitant about taking a Bitcoin-backed loan, especially through Coinbase. I do know that there's some out there that offer this. That I just always see Unchained offers it. I don't know what their terms are, but if you're inclined to take a Bitcoin-backed loan, if you think that's best for you, I would probably lean towards someone like Unchained. And again, there's other out there. I just don't know that Unchained is the first one that comes to my head. But I'd be very cautious about doing any kind of loan with Coinbase or just doing any interactions with Coinbase in general. I have a feeling this is going to end very badly for them. Yomar, Bob, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, aside from, you know, the risk that you're taking doing this, you just have to look at it from their side. They understand the long-term value of Bitcoin. And, you know, if there's not a way for you to top up, before a liquidation, you know, they're just presenting this, this product to take your Bitcoin because they're willing to hold on to it for the long term. So you got to think about it from their perspective, not just yours, like what could go wrong. The other thing I'll say is attracting more Bitcoin to exchanges is probably necessary for them at this point because it's becoming more and more scarce and there's not as much, you know, held on exchanges. But you have to think about what that allows them to do. So probably not good for your overall position in Bitcoin if you're holding it on an exchange because they can use that Bitcoin to manipulate the price to some degree. So it's not a straight line. It's not completely apparent. But what I would say is there's broader risks than maybe what you might think. And so unless you really need this, I would certainly think not just twice, but multiple times about doing this before I did it.
Yeah. And I'd have to imagine the interest rate's got to be pretty, pretty high because again, it's not like a typical collateralized loan or something. And even those right now are still pretty high. I think they're almost double digits at a traditional bank. Yeah, you're playing with wildfire. Bob said it best. Think about what their intentions are. You might think it's really smart right now because we're still in the early innings of this bull cycle, but we have no idea. There could be a black swan event that happens in the weeks or months ahead of us, and you could just lose absolutely everything on this. You won't lose anything if you keep your Bitcoin in your own hardware wallet off the exchanges. And if you do need a purchase off exchange, again, Strike or River, those are my go-to. I absolutely really like promoting those two companies. And River offers a proof of reserves on their website. You just go in, you click on, I think their drop-down tab. It says proof of reserves. You just have to log in and it'll show you everything. So check them out, River Financial.
I've been using Cash App lately. It works for, exchanging the fiat shitcoin for Bitcoin. Haven't had any issues there. But yeah, I agree. I think anytime, be very wary of these companies, especially any of them that are shit coiners. Gemini, I think they had something like that too, right? Gemini, I've talked about before, but they just, at one point, they just wouldn't let me move my Bitcoin at all. So out of nowhere. So, luckily, it was only a month or so of DCA, so it wasn't a lot. But it's still, it just shows you, don't trust these companies, right? Don't keep your money out on exchanges. And even if, you know, if Coinbase, if you have like this loan with Coinbase, right? Like your Bitcoin is locked up. And then if something happens to Coinbase, doesn't even necessarily have to be like somebody defaults on whatever the loan is. But if something happens to Coinbase, then, you know, your Bitcoin's going to be gone. And you'll probably be like the bottom man on the totem pole in terms of getting your Bitcoin back. So, you know, be very careful of that. I think, what was that other one? Wasn't there like BlockFi or something that used to do that? I remember there's, I don't know. There's always like, there's
BlockFi too.
Yeah. It doesn't end well usually, you know, because they're probably a little bit riskier loans, I would imagine, just because like it's a novel, like avenue for it. So, it just doesn't make sense to me. If you are going to do it, like the same as like when you gamble, you know, do it with an amount that you're comfortable losing. You know, or that like if worst case scenario, you get rugged on your Bitcoin, you have some other asset that you can easily, some other liquid asset that you can easily get rid of to rebuy your Bitcoin. But you know, then there's all these tax implications and you're still out all that Bitcoin, which in that whatever monetary value it has. So, it's just dangerous in my mind. Too dangerous for me.
The biggest red flag here is the, what it sounds like, and maybe this will change, but the biggest red flag is that, you'll be liquidated, right? So if you don't have the opportunity to send in more Bitcoin on a crash to top up, meaning, sorry, all here. If you don't, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. If you don't have the ability to add more collateral, because the price has fallen in Bitcoin, then you are in, you're just taking your life in your own hands. I mean, you should just expect to lose it because, I think we've all seen the flash crashes, these strange anomalies that tend to occur on these exchanges, especially as volumes go up. As people are trading more and more, buying more, selling more, more people come into this. I've been around for long enough to remember all of the crazy times when Bitcoin crashes on Coinbase and around the world for that matter. And, you know, in the early days, it was probably one of the best places to buy and you couldn't log in. You couldn't log in to do anything because, their system inevitably crashes. And so, you have to look at all the risks, including the fact that their platform might just not give you access at some point, which I know sounds strange, but when you're trying to panic buy because you've been waiting for the 30% dip, I remember in 2020 sitting in my parents' living room, basically using foul language in front of them, which I don't often do at my phone because I had some money sitting there ready to buy. And my dad's saying, man, you've been telling me about this for a long time. And if you're this angry that you can't buy, maybe I should buy some. So that did help him finally buy Bitcoin, which is a whole nother story and, kind of funny. But my point in the story really is that, you know, I couldn't get on to buy when Bitcoin fell from nearly 12,000 to 7,700. For a couple of hours. And so if I couldn't get on to buy and they were going to make money off of my trade, you know, you won't be able to get back on the platform to top up. You start allowing that, which it sounds like they're not going to. So again, I'll have to read the fine print, but I would just tell you like think twice or think multiple times before you do it.
Yeah, so there's a couple things I want to hit on there. I would just go to River right now, download the app, get signed up with them, to go ahead and put a buy order in there. So if you think the price is going to crash, just set your order in there, and your cash just sits in your account. If you have like $100 you want to purchase, it sits there, and you earn interest paid, daily interest paid in Bitcoin, just having your buy order sitting there. This way, if it hits it, you don't ever miss it. You don't have to worry about logging in and being able to get there in time. So that's one way to do it. Again, I really do like River, so please go check them out. And I forgot the other point. I guess we're not going to hit it. Oh, it's safe to assume. I always tell people, if you're going to sell your Bitcoin, just know this in the back of your mind, you're probably never going to get that amount of Bitcoin back ever again. It's usually gone forever. And again, everyone's financial situation is different. Things come up. I completely understand. If you have to sell and it's right for you, do it, but just have that knowing. You're probably never going to see that Bitcoin again. I would go on a limb here and say it's probably safe to say if you put your Bitcoin as a Bitcoin-backed loan, you're probably not going to see that Bitcoin again. Just things can happen. I feel pretty confident saying that if nation states start purchasing Bitcoin, I don't think we'll have drastic drawdowns, and I think the price is going to go parabolic. Knowing that and saying that, I still wouldn't feel comfortable putting a Bitcoin loan in and making sure that it was collateralized at 133%. I would not sleep comfortable at night. I'd always be worried if the price dipped even a little bit, I would freak out. So again, everybody's different, but just know that, be cautious. A lot of people want your Bitcoin and they'll try and trick you a lot of ways to acquire it.
Yeah. And you know, stress is not free, right? Like that puts a toll on you. So don't think that, I got this loan and it's fine. I'm just really stressed out. Like, nah, that's, you know, make sure that's worth it to you. Like I'm with Coleman 100%. Like I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, I like that. I don't really care what the price is. I just like, you know, like I'll see it occasionally. I don't really ever even check it. You know, like I have a DCA, a recurring buy set up with Cash App and, you know, whenever I get bored and I see that message, I'll go over there and I'll transfer it over to my cold storage. But you know, that's really it. You know, I see it on Twitter. I see the price and stuff, but I'm never like looking at the price. I did that when I first got into Bitcoin. I was trying to, you know, beat the system, but it's the same as anything else. You know, like your time in market will, beat timing the market. So, you know, if you are doing loans with your Bitcoin, that's still, you're trying to time the market, right? You're thinking that it's going to go up from here, so my stuff will be safe. But you don't know, you know, like for a nation state, like, yes, they want to buy it. Okay. I think we mostly all agree on that. But if you are a nation state, you want the price to go down so that when you start buying, you know, you can get more of it. So they can do shenanigans to try to manipulate price action to get it to go down. So just keep that in mind.
That great conversation, great topics to get, gentlemen. We've hit the top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up the show. Yomar, Bob, do you guys have any final comments or closing remarks you'd like to make?
I do. Just real quickly, you know, I tend to zoom out on a lot of this stuff, and I think it's great to kick around these topics and, it's hopefully educational for everybody that's listening and, you know, gets you to think a little bit. You don't always have to take what we say as gospel. But what I will say is, you know, we know that things are going to change. And, in the end, you know, you can wait around for all this news to happen. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. But there's also actions that you can take in your neighborhood, in your house, in your neighborhood, in your local community. And so I would just encourage everybody, yeah, some of these big decisions that the new administration are going to make are going to impact us and probably for the good, especially if you're holding on to Bitcoin. But I would say there's a lot of work to be done just in our own houses and in our own neighborhoods and in our own communities. And so I would just encourage you, don't wait for this stuff to happen. And hold all your hopes on any of the rumors or the news. Go out and make what you want to see the world be like. Go out and make it happen.
That's great advice, Bob. I can't recommend that enough. Go out there and be the change you want to see. Don't wait for someone else to do it. If you go out there right now before the President of the United States announces a strategic Bitcoin reserve, when it gets announced, people are going to be looking for leaders, looking for someone who's knowledgeable. And if you've been out there in the community talking about it, you're going to be the first one that comes to mind. Again, I go back to what Natalie Brunell said when she was on the show. They are not going to remember what you're telling them. They will not remember everything. There's just too much. It's just too steep of a learning curve for most people to understand. What they are going to remember though was your attitude and the way that you deliver it. So always just make sure you're in a positive mood when you're going out and talking about it. And that's what they're going to remember. Hey, I remember that Bob, he came over and was talking about Bitcoin. I just heard the United States is going to buy some. I need to go reach out to him. And so just keep that in mind when you're talking about it. It could or could not happen, but it doesn't hurt going out there because we know it's inevitable. If it doesn't happen this time, it's going to happen over the next 8 years for sure. So be that change, be positive. Bitcoin fixes everything. I like that saying. Eomar, did you have anything else you wanted to say, sir?
No, I think we covered a lot of it. I'm a big fan of Marcus Aurelius. So you're talking about go out there and like be the change. It's hard for any individual to change the world, right? So, anything you're trying to do, don't necessarily, if it's a larger thing, don't beat yourself up if you didn't, get that, world changing thing accomplished. But you got to do right by yourself, right? You control yourself and your own actions. So that's what you should hold yourself to, right? If you're trying to accomplish something and you did everything in your power to do it, be content in that. And just keep that mindset, like you are doing it for yourself. It could be something that you're, doing it for other people, right? Like charity work or, helping your community and stuff. And like, if you turn around and like, say you clean something up and you go back a week later and it's a mess again, that doesn't mean that what you did was useless, right? Like you did what was in your control. You did good and, what other people do is outside of your control. So the best thing you can do is just keep doing good. If we're lucky, then it'll catch on and it will grow from there. It'll kind of snowball. So just wanted to throw that out there. And if you haven't read Meditations, from Marcus Aurelius, you definitely should. And, if you want to help out the people in Gaza, pcrf.net and, healpalestine.org are both good groups. To donate to, or UNRWA is another one. There's others, but those are the ones that I donate to. So.
Well, thank you, Omar. And I'm going to leave it on that because that was great. So thank you guys so much for listening. I do appreciate everybody. If you are in the Houston area, in the Northeast side, my wife and I will be hosting a Bitcoin meetup on the 29th. If you have any questions or in the area, please just send me a direct message. I'll give you the details and I hope you can make it. A couple of you have already reached out, so I look forward to meeting you in person and it looks like it's going to be a great one. So that's it. Go out there. Have a great day. Be the change you want to be, but don't shitcoin. It's like when Yomer puts beans in his chili and then he starts eating it.
Fritos is a hard fork to shitcoinery.
I'm going to have to edit that out.